If you got a Bible with you today, if you'd turn with us over into Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7, I'm going to start reading in verse 24, Matthew 7 and 24. The Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says. There's a lot of opinions in this old world, but this is the Word of God today. What a day, Sunday, we can come together and hear the Word of God. What a privilege. We'll see it leave our country. Because our Bible's not politically correct. They said there's one way to the gate. Not several ways. Matter of fact, God don't care if He offends you or not. His Word is true. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. That's always a big issue in my life. I've heard it a lot, but it's what I do with it after I hear it. He said that whosoever, I'm glad it's a whosoever gospel today, heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I'll liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And likewise the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. And it beat upon that house, and it fell. And look right here, Mom and Daddies, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. America is in trouble. Probably in a way that very few people really comprehend America being in trouble. And I'm going to tell you why America is in trouble. It's because our homes are in trouble. You see, so goes the home, so goes the nation. So goes the home, so goes the church. Everything is focused around the home. You that are older, or you that are younger, that have been raised in an old-fashioned way by the Word of God in a stable home, whether it may be by parents that you got saved young or you got saved later, but you had great stability at home, it has affected your whole life. Some of you didn't have that in your home. But now some of you have gotten saved by the grace of God, and therefore God has given you a stable home environment for your children. And this goes a long, long way in our society. Now, I want to continue and pick up this week on our home. And I want to share a few thoughts. And verse 24 of Matthew 7, you'll notice there was great direction. That whosoever heareth these things, aren't you glad that we've got a Bible that is a whosoever gospel? He said, every one of you have the opportunity to build your house right. Then, not only is there directions, but there are decisions. He said, verse 24, that which built his house. And then there's a great discovery in verse 25. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not. Because I tell you why, because it was founded upon a rock. And there's directions, and there's decisions, but there's a discovery. It fell not. But then Jesus said in verse 26, there's a declaring. He said, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, said it'd be a big difference. Said that there would be, in verse 27, a destruction. He said, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. You know, I've noticed this. The devil will never show people the repercussions of their sin while it's going on. But when it always comes after, only then you see the repercussion. The Bible said great was the fall. You know why? Because there were so many people involved in this home and in this destruction. I've heard people say this, well, preacher, leave me alone. I want to say, I'm glad God don't leave me alone. Because if He left me alone to myself, I would self-destruct. But I'm glad there's a God that is interested in Ken Bowman. There's a God that is interested in you. And I hear a lot of people say, well, preacher, leave me alone because I'm only hurting myself. That's a big lie from the devil today. And you're not only hurting yourself, but you're hurting others that are around you. Now, as I felt that the Holy Ghost has put this in my heart to deal with in these days, I want to deal a few messages on the home life. And here in Matthew 7, you'll note there's the principles of the home life. Now, Jesus laid these great principles. He said, I want you to know something. He said, storms is going to come to your house. Young families, storms are coming. The rains are going to send. The floods are going to rise. The winds are going to blow. And just because you love Jesus, it does not mean that your house is exempt from stormy weather. You'll notice both experience storm trouble, but only one experienced storm damage. I'm glad that if you're founded upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can withstand some storm. Now, you'll notice as Jesus is teaching about this house, and as we're preaching about this home life and the house that we live, there are the principles of the home life. Jesus said, dig down deep. Get connected to the rock. And therefore, not only is there the principles of the home life, but I want to preach a little while today on the priorities of our home life. See, I think a lot of times this is where people have a breakdown. It's not God and the preacher and the people. I try to use this word, not y'all, but us. Because see, I need preaching too. My home needs help this morning. My life needs help. And the only way we're going to get it is out of the Word of God. Now, I want to say today that there are some priorities of the home life. Number one priority in every home in this building. I don't know how many homes are represented, but several today. But I want to say that every home in this building, first of all, concerning our priorities, we ought to have our beliefs right. Our beliefs right. Now, in Psalms 119 and verse number 9, the Bible said, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, to the Word of God. With my whole heart have I sought Thee, and oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Now he says in verse 15 of Psalms 119, I will meditate in Thy precepts, and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy Word. Mom and daddies, we need to have our beliefs right. It's still the infallible Word of God that is still right and relevant in this day and this hour. We don't need a new Bible. We need to learn to live out of the one that God wrote to us. We don't need a new church. We need to get involved in the church that God has got us put in. We don't need a new preacher. We need to pray for the preacher that we got this morning. And honey, I come to tell you, we got to get our belief system right that this is the Word of God and there is no question on the authoritative, precious, inspired Holy Ghost Word of God this morning. I'm telling you, we need to have our belief right. And then number two, you and me need to get our bunch right. In Mark 3, I want you to look what the Lord had to say. In Mark chapter number 3 and verse number 22, the scribes that came down from Jerusalem said, He hath a Beelzebub. By the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. He called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? Here's the text verse. If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. We need to have our bunch right. We need to have unity in our home. That's why the Bible says to not be unequally yoked in the family of God. Young lady, I'm going to tell you right now, that little boy that you're dating, he won't come to the house of God with you now. What makes you think he'll come to the house of God with you after you marry him? Now I want to say it does matter who you believe, and it does matter how you believe, and it does matter where you believe. And Jesus said that house cannot stand unless you agree together. Jesus ought to be everything in our house. It ought not be room for any other God, for He is a jealous God, and He deserves all of our honor and all of our praise this morning. Now I'm going to tell you why America's going to fall, because she's divided. You show me any church that's divided, I'll tell you what's coming is failure. I'll show you any home that's divided, unless God intervenes, it's going to fall. And also look in Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Now, you've got to learn to give God the right of way at your house. We give so many other things the right of way. But we need our bunch right. We need our house together today. In Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 1, here Paul's writing, look what he says. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Here's a big old word, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, we need our belief right. We need our bunch right. Mom and Daddy, get together and serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the unity of the Spirit, and your house will flow a whole lot easier. Oh my, we need unity in our home. And therefore, if you're going to have unity, you better realize that God don't take second seat to nobody. Make Him Lord of your house. Savior of your house. Wouldn't it be a blessing if God would save a family this morning and bring unity to their house? Some of you are divided on maybe some issues. But let me tell you what, you need to get your division away, because only unity is going to get you through this thing. And I'm going to say this today. It's not that I'm right and it's not that you're right. I'm going to tell you, this book is always right. And I'm not going to take sides of the situation. I'm going to point you to this Bible. That He's always right. And oh my, in our homes, we need our belief right. Our belief system is broke down in America. We've allowed other gods to infiltrate, and now our homes are in chaos. We need to get not only our belief right, we need to get our bunch right. Then thirdly, I want to say, as your preacher, you need to get your banking right. You say, why you say that? Jesus said something about getting your banking right. In Matthew 6, verse 19, watch your Bible. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Get your banking right. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Nobody can lay treasures up for you but you. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. And look here. And where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You're banking right. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul is writing to the New Testament church, and he said something about getting our banking right. He said in 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 1, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores. God hath prospered him. Why? That there be no gatherings when I come. I want my banking right. I want my home situated in such a way that I am reminded that I pay my tithes to my Lord through my local church on Sunday morning. And it's very important that you have your banking right. Many are trying to work their fingers to the bone to have something here. And everybody ought to have goals and ambitions and some great priorities. But let your chief banking be done in heaven this morning. I would say one of the greatest passages that I've ever heard For as a man that had died and went to heaven, I wrote this saying in the front of my Bible so I'll not forget these sayings about having your banking done in heaven. There was a man died and went to glory. Been there a few days. The man come by and said, I see you've been here a few days. You're a man that seems to have a lot of wisdom about you. Said, I want to ask you something. Have you learned anything since you've been here these few weeks? He said, yes, I've learned three great things. And listen to me today about keeping your banking right. He said, what I spent, I lost. What I saved, I left. Me and Miss Renee the other day, there's a very nice to-do family in Bowden. They were friends of our family. She had died earlier. He died. You know what they had? They had a sale Thursday through Saturday at lunch. Me and Miss Renee walked in there talking about what I saved, I left. And I looked around at everybody, Brother Lee, walking rank strangers. Walking through that house, gathering things. You know what? That he left. We need to teach our children good work ethics and good manners, good principles in order to hold a good job that they provide for their family. But we better be teaching our children the most important thing is to do their banking in heaven. He said, what I spent, I lost. What I saved, I left. But mama, what I gave, I have. I'm glad that I've given unto the Lord. Thieves cannot break through and steal, for His world is a secure world this morning. And the things that we've sent ahead for His account, He's got in safekeeping today. Oh, Lord. I can hardly wait to see Him. How good He's been to me. I praise Him and I thank Him. You see, get ye beliefs right in your home. Great priorities. Get your bunch right. Get them centered around the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that bring great unity in your house. Get your banking right. You know what I'll challenge anybody here for a year? I'll challenge you to pay your tithes unto the Lord. And you back off in a year and look at what God has done through you and for you. You can't outgive the Lord. I've heard a lot of people say, I can't afford to tithe. Honey, you can't afford not to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. When I was a young man in Sandy Flat Baptist Church, I hadn't been saved long, there was a man there. I'd take up the offering, Brother Felton. Brother Joe, I'd pass the plate, and I'd noticed many times, and I just a young man, I didn't mean to meddle, but I'm just saying I noticed what he give. But then I noticed what he had. And then I noticed the kind of spirit that he had on him. And let me tell you something. You might not live in a new house and drive a new car if you pay your tithe, but I tell you, you will have some things that money cannot buy this morning. Them TV boys tell you send it all in to them. They'll promise you health and wealth, but they never did read Job in their Bible. But I'm going to tell you this, in your home, boy, if you'll make your banking a great priority, God will bless you in ways like you never thought. Priorities of believing, priorities of our bunch, priorities of our banking, but I want to say priorities of a budget. As your pastor, I don't meddle in people's business. I just try to preach to them, be a help to them. But I want to say something. The formulas that God has put down still has never changed. Watch this. 2 and 2 is 4. 4 and 4 is 8. 8 and 8 is 16. If you take out more than's coming in, you know what that means? You go in a hole that week. It's pretty simple formula. And it may surprise you what Jesus says about your budget. Proverbs chapter number 6. Look here with me. Proverbs 6. What would God say about a budget? Proverbs chapter number 6. You know, a lot of times we get up against finances in our home and the devil shuts our home down because of our finances. You'd be surprised at people that's having a hard time in their home because of finances. Jesus never intended for finances to divide your home. And I want you to look what He says right here concerning a budget. Proverbs 6. And I want you to look, and if you would, with me in verse number 6. The Bible says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep?" God intended for us to work. God blesses work. And then look at Proverbs 21 and verse number 5. Proverbs 21 and verse number 5. "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death." Now look in verse 5. "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness." In other words, he's talking about planning ahead. Proverbs 24, verse number 3. Proverbs 24, verse number 3. "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. A man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety." This morning, our priorities of our home life, we ought to keep our budget right. Look in Luke 14 and 29, a powerful verse that Jesus has said about our budget. Luke 14 and 29. Look in Luke 14 and 28. If you're there with me, say amen this morning. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it. Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I think every home ought to have a budget. I think you ought to make plans. I think you ought to realize what's coming in and what's going out. And if the formula don't work, then you need to change you. A lot of you young couples, you've got to realize you don't start out the first year the way somebody's been married 25 years. It takes time. It's a process. It takes great discipline. Get your finances in order. They'll bring great division to your home. Then I want to say, not only our budget right, but our bonding right. Genesis 2:23. I want to give you this thought this morning. Genesis 2:23. On some priorities in our home. Genesis 2:23. I want you to look here what the Bible teaches us. He says, Adam said, just brought Eve unto him, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The bonding. You know, here as they are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, here they are sharing everything together. The ups and the down. And you better believe that if she hurts, sir, you'll be hurt. You know, we must have the priority of bonding. That marriage relationship is so sacred and holy in the eyes of God. Between a man and a woman being husband and wife, there is a place where God will bond your love together that nobody else is to ever get in that sacred circle of marriage. You know, I used to, as a young man, make decisions, and it would upset and it would affect my home. But you know what I was doing? I was so self-centered. I was only thinking about me. I wasn't thinking about my wife. But the older I've got, Brother Lee, now before I make a decision for myself, I want to bring my wife to get her involved. Because you see, it does matter what your wife feels like about the situation. A lot of you boys say, well, I'm boy dog and I'm the head of the home. Now I realize all that, honey. But let me tell you one thing. You got a wife there to love and to respect and to put a thought process in place about. This thing ain't just about you. There's been many times I wanted to do something. I know it upset my wife. It ain't worth upsetting her. It ain't worth tearing my nest up, my home up. Let me tell you, a lady's got to feel secure and some stability at where she lives. And be careful, sir, the decisions you make, it'll tear your nest up. Oh, we need to work on that bond time. Very important. And you know, a lot of times if the boys will quit running with the boys and get to running with his wife, they'd have more bond time. Now, we need our behaviors right. Ephesians 5:21. I want to say this and close today.
We need our beliefs right. We need our bunks right. Well, we need our banking and our budget right. We need our bond of companionship right. But Ephesians 5:21. Have you read these verses lately? We need our behavior right. Matter of fact, this text right here, it fixed every home in the building. It fixed every home in our nation. It says this in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We've lost that in our homes. We've lost it in our country, and we've lost it in our churches. People now, hey, you don't ever think about dying, but you're going to meet God one day, and you better be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands? You talking about a verse fixing a load, our wagon. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Boy, if you love your wife as Christ loved the church, she will respond to you. She will be good to you. You can win her to God. You can win her to you. But you're going to have to love her as Christ loved the church. Let me ask you something. Did Christ forgive you of anything? A marriage is a give and a take relationship. And a lot of times it's more taking than giving if you're going to make it work. He said that He might sanctify and cleanse of the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this is cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. This morning I'm glad that we've got a Bible that teaches me to get my beliefs right. You know, marriage is intended to be a wonderful thing, but many times it's such a taxing and a laboring thing because the home's not right. You know what I can truthfully say this morning, and I can't say a lot of things, but I can say this. I am happier, more content in my home than I've ever been in my life. You know what's helped me a lot, fellas? Thinking about her before I acted crazy. I remember one time, we lived in a single-wide trailer. And that was fine. It was working. I went, got me a boat. Loved fishing, nothing wrong with that. Then I traded up, got a better boat, backing up to my boat one day. It happened to me. I said, you know, you're fishing in something better than what you're living out of. Boy, I made so many decisions that was so self-centered. I had a boat to catch every fish in the lake, but I had a TV that wouldn't get but two stations. Had dog-eared antennas on it. Aluminum foil on top. I'd get Miss Renee to go stand by the window so we could watch the Dayton game. Somebody say amen. It'd pick up if she stood by the window. My, how Jesus can get your priorities right. You know, young people, don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on one another. Jesus never did give up on you. Jesus never gives up on us. I sure am grateful of that this morning. I just feel like we need a little teaching on our home. You know, homes would be a lot better if we weren't so self-centered, not thinking of others, but thought of each other. If I make this decision, how does this affect my home? If I go do this, how does this affect my wife? Jesus wants us to be one. I appreciate you coming this morning. I want you to stand all around the house today.